So today's message on the 20th of April, Resurrection Day, known as Easter Sunday to most of the world, the message is, how do you identify? I'm going to start with a short reading from Matthew 26, 69 to 75. Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. And then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." And then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a cock crowed, and then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Now there's a thing. There was a time when my accent would have left you in no doubt that I was and am a Yorkshireman. And now there's just my flat cap and my sheepdog to give it away. Now my wife can still be picked up by some keen-eared people as being from the Republic of Ireland. She has that pleasant Irish lilt to her accent. They can pick out traces of words said slightly differently from someone born in England. But sometimes, depending on who you're talking to, we can't hide where we're from. Jerry would find it very difficult to sound like me, and I would find it almost impossible to sound like him with that strong Northern Irish accent. And then there's Heidi, who's just gone out, will always sound American to me, even though her accent is nothing like Donald Trump. This message is not so much about where we are from as much as who and what we identify as. My wife will always identify as being Irish, and I will always identify as being English or British. And nothing is ever likely to change there, even if I end up with both a British and an Irish passport one day. All my three sons were born in Boston, Lincolnshire, just up the road, but could identify with being from, well, an Irish mother and a British father, therefore maybe English or Irish or Anglo-Irish. This is all very normal and common in today's world, I suppose, but other parts of society, you know, they've become very confusing these days, haven't they? Nowadays, people can identify as whatever they decide is a good idea at the time. If you feel uncomfortable with the sex you were born with, as per your birth certificate, for example, you have the right to change it to something other than male and female. Maybe you can change it from male to female, or female to male. Or you could be persuaded to believe that you are a bit of each, or neither of the two. Just for interest, I googled that on the spot to find out, quote, how many gender identities there are thought to be, and I got this answer. This will probably blow your mind as it did mine. And this is what the answer was. There isn't a fixed number of gender identities. Gender is a spectrum, and people can identify with various identities, including but not limited to cisgender, transgender, non-binary, gender fluid, gender queer, and agender. Some sources even mention that there are more than 107 different gender identities. And here's a short, more detailed look into what they are. Cisgender, and I didn't know this, identifies me. Individuals whose gender identity aligns with the sex they were assigned at birth. Did you know, if you are one of those, that you are a cisgender person? Or you could be transgender, individuals whose gender identity differs from the sex they were assigned at birth. Or non-binary, individuals who do not identify as exclusively male or female. Or gender fluid, individuals whose gender identity fluctuates over time. Or gender queer, individuals who identify outside the traditional binary of male and female, often viewing gender as a spectrum. Or agender, individuals who do not identify with any gender. Or pangender, individuals who identify with all genders. Or bigender, individuals who identify with two or more genders. Or demigender, individuals who identify primarily with one gender but also feel a connection to another. And then there's two-spirit, a term used by some indigenous peoples to describe individuals who embody both male and female spirit. I told you it'd blow your mind. This is the modern world. We've just been talking about it earlier. It leads to confusion, distraction. But it goes on. There's fluidity. Many gender identities are not fixed and can evolve over time. Do you read it and believe it? Do you read this and believe it? Spectrum. Gender is a spectrum, meaning that there are many possibilities beyond the binary of male and female. Personal identity. Individuals have the autonomy to choose how they identify and describe their gender. Like I said, we are now living in a very confusing, chaotic world where children are being coerced and confused into things they would never have found living on a farm in the countryside with no internet connection. I cannot accept that we are anything other than what God says we are. If he created us male and female, as it says in Genesis, if he created us in his own image, then that must be what he intended. Otherwise, the creation story and all that we believe doesn't work. God's got it wrong, man's got it right. But what else does God say? In Romans 3:23, the word says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we are in this mess. Therefore, it isn't difficult to understand why we tend to disagree with God's word, is it? When somebody tells you you're wrong, if you're proud, you say, I'm not wrong, you're wrong. There's a modern tendency, isn't there, to following the thinking of, well, if it feels good, just do it. Don't dismiss it or mock it till you've tried it. Or everybody's doing it anyway these days, so it must be okay. Oh, and there's another one. This one. Love is love. Whether you're straight, gay, or however you identify, love is love. But we need to align ourselves and identify with something that never changes. Something that you can rely on. Because just this week, the Supreme Court in Westminster have decided that actually a woman is a woman. Isn't that amazing? It's taken all this time. In 2025, the Supreme Court in London, Westminster, have decided, after careful thought and consideration, that a woman is a woman. And nothing else is a woman. A mature female human person. Hallelujah! It increases your faith in the government, doesn't it? But where have we been to get to that point? We have been thrown so much garbage that you're thinking, is it me? Is there something wrong with me the way I think? Goodness me. Modern ideas will not last long. Those of us who are, well, I don't know, 60, 70, what, 50, 60, 70, we've lived long enough to realize that, like fashion, fashion comes in, fashion goes out. There was a time I wore flares and bell bottoms and straight legs and parallels and Oxford bags. And then they went out. They were not cool anymore. And then they came in and they went out. And haircuts, you cannot keep on creating haircuts because I've seen them all now. I've seen them all. All of them. They come in, they go out, they come in, they go out. They've introduced colours and, you know, things which are a bit bizarre. But they come in and they go out. Everybody's trying to find a way to express their originality and stand out in the crowd, aren't they? To be special. To be noticeable. I'm different from you. And I want you to recognize that I'm different from you. I'm special. I have special needs. Alex.
Go on.
We really need to identify with something that is wholesome and true. Something that is good and immutable. Something that man's bright ideas cannot alter. So, today then, challenge on. How do you identify today? Are you British? Are you English? Are you Irish? Are you American, German, Romanian, Polish? Does your accent give you away? Are you conservative, liberal, liberal Democrat, Reform UK, socialist? None of those. None of the above. Other. I won't go into whether you identify as male or female. I can see. It doesn't matter, really, how you identify. You could identify as an Easter egg if you want. But I hope that you today agree with God's label that he puts on you. Because if you disagree with his labeling, you're going to lose the argument. Because you won't be there with anything to argue with. So having said that, how has he labelled you so far? Has he decided perhaps if you are religious? He has said, well, you're an Irish Catholic, or you're an English Protestant, or you're an Irish Presbyterian, or you're an American Evangelical, or a Southern American Baptist, or a Romanian Eastern Orthodox. Do you honestly think that God identifies you like that? John 10:14-18. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. And this command I received from my Father. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay, now, here we are. Do you identify as a sheep? I've heard of people identifying as a cat. And then expecting to get treated by the local vet. But surprisingly, they get gently and respectfully turned away with some kind of explanation that they can't be treated as a cat because they present and can be clearly identified as, well, some form of human being, albeit with, well, maybe mental challenges or learning disabilities. But what's the difference between a cat and a sheep? Well, from my experience, and I do have some limited experience, if you get on the wrong side of a cat will probably shred you. My wife comes home sometimes shredded. Hands, face, whatever it can get its claws into. On the other hand, sheep tend to be quite passive and gentle, maybe a bit naughty or a bit silly, but they don't bite and they don't have claws. But they often have a shepherd to look after them, to feed them, to shear them, to clean them, protect them, etc. Cats, on the other hand, just leg it. They just go off on their own and do their own thing. They own everything. They even own you. Sheep tend to hang out in flocks together and raise their lambs under the same shepherd's protection and guidance. Sheep give birth to sheep, but that isn't enough according to Jesus. Giving birth to sheep is not the pièce de résistance of what Jesus is trying to do here. Because he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. And quote, they too will listen to my voice. So if you're a sheep today, ask yourself this question. Do I know my shepherd's voice? Does he know my name and my identity? Will he call out to me when I am in or approaching danger? Will I hear him when he does? If you're a cat, you're just off up a tree somewhere, hiding. One of the reasons we know that Jesus rose from the grave is not just because of all the eyewitnesses and accounts and the miracle of the birth of his church at Pentecost, accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, but also because we can still hear his voice calling to us and encouraging us and disciplining us if we regularly read his word. And then we are identifying with him in a very powerful way. As we read through the scriptures, we will come across teachings like this. In Galatians 3:22-29, the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now then, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So it's almost like it doesn't really matter how you identify in many ways, so long as you identify with Christ and it doesn't contradict God's word. As a female, you can be known as and identified as a son of God. How does that make you feel? There is a prerequisite, however, and this is what it is. Did you see it? Did you see the prerequisite? Let's read it again. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He's talking to a specific group of people here. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. That's a specific group of people, because he could have been speaking to people who had not been baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:22-29 is talking about people who have been baptized into Christ. And we are weeks away, God willing, from two of his sheep in this flock today, identifying with Jesus Christ in exactly this way. Yet another illustration of why you need to know who and what you identify with and how it came about, because that will be part of your testimony. Baptism is symbolic in part. It is spiritual in other parts. It's symbolic of taking off your old fallen nature, your unbelief, and putting on, being clothed with a new identity, that you are now identify with something that you didn't before. Whether you're male or female, all one. Baptism is symbolic in part, taking off your old fallen nature, putting on and being clothed with a new identity. The water and the ceremony per se can have no effect whatsoever on an unbelieving person. You are wasting your time and everybody else's time if you do not believe. And it happens. People join the end of the queue, just like they do at Billy Graham concerts, and flocks of people go forward and to say, I believe in Jesus and all that, and then they go away and nothing's happened. They've just had an experiential experience and nothing's changed. But can you see that if you believe, this is the way, this is the right way, it can change your life. You will look back at it as a turning point and a key part of your faith walk. The water and the ceremony can possibly have no effect on an unbelieving person who has not turned their back on this world. This system, its teaching, its forms of righteousness, the love is love thing, I tell you, there is no salvation coming out of this world. Salvation is in him and him alone. We are to be in this world for a limited time, but not of this world. We are to be a people set apart for Jesus. Why Jesus? Why does it have to be Jesus? Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Name one. Silence. There isn't one. There is no other Saviour. The other ones are just leaders, directors, soldiers, philosophers, people who sit and meditate. None of them gave their life for you. What do we have to do to really identify with Jesus? To identify as one of his sheep, part of his flock, to become sons of God. What do we have to do? John 11:21-27. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. So have you today, or have you already, are you ready to change your identity? Do you need to change your identity? After Jesus rose from the dead, he came back to the disciples to rebuke them and warn them and encourage them. In Mark 16, 14 to 16, we read, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's in black and white. You either love the word or it's your greatest enemy, because if you think it's not a bad book and you read it and you see that, whoever does not believe will be condemned, it's telling you that if you don't believe, you will be condemned. I didn't write it. I just read it. Fortunately, I believe. So, you know, it doesn't really threaten me anymore. But it did once. So if you believe Jesus died for you and was risen from the grave, then you need to make every effort to make sure that you identify with him, in him. We all need to be his sheep and to be found in Christ. In the end, it's the only passport and identity that you will ever need. Where you're from, how you sound, what your accent is like, is of little importance in the end. Father, we thank you that you make it very clear that we can't do it on our own. That everything that we cherish in this world, if it's not of you, Lord, is fading away. It's subject to the law of entropy. It will decay and be eaten by moths or be stolen, or we will lose it. Whatever our heart's desire is, if it's not you, Lord, will ultimately be gone. But Lord, if we have you, we have everything. Because you brought us here, Lord, in the first place. We were born naked, and naked we will, except maybe for a shroud or whatever, we will leave this earth at an unknown time, and we will face the one that brought us here in the first place. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of time. It makes absolutely no sense, and it does not give us any peace or joy. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you are our shepherd, that you call us to be your sheep, and you have only good in mind for us, Lord, to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future, Lord, that we may all be one as you and the Father are one, now and for always, we pray. Bless us and keep us strong, Lord, in a difficult and confusing world. Amen.